was quizzical, studied metaphysical science in the home. Late nights all alone with a test tube.
Okay, Craig, thank you. 5:06 on the Central Coast on this Friday, September 28th, 2018. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. Let me just get my little screen working here. I want to thank Bob Sachs for coming in. As I explained at 4:05, he had reached out to me and wanted a chance to come in and talk about the Kavanaugh hearings because of what his daughter went through. I was just checking the Washington Post online during the news break, and sure enough, here's a story they just posted about an hour ago. Sexual assault victims are reliving their trauma triggered by Kavanaugh hearing. So it's not just Bob and his wife and their family. It's families all across the country. So we have tried to give you a variety of perspectives on this whole situation involving Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Christine Ford and the media coverage and the politics and the political drama. Always pleased to add one other voice to that mix. We welcome back to this broadcast conservative blogger, bon vivant, Matt Hoy. Check out his website at hoystory.com.
Good to be here, Dave.
Nice to see you, sir. You've written a couple different posts on this, and you were planning a third one, but you wanted to share it with our audience first.
I wanted to save it for you.
I appreciate that.
There's a ton of stuff to touch on with this.
Let me just start. What's been the biggest surprise of the week for you?
I'd say probably the biggest surprise for me has been just how yesterday's testimony by both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh, how impactful they both were, how sincere I believe they both were.
Yep.
That was kind of surprising to me. I was listening a little bit to your last guest, and I heard somebody call in, you know, and one of the I heard a few of the calls before I actually moved into the office, and they don't play your station in the lobby.
I know.
They don't play your show in the lobby. But, you know, the idea that you think Brett Kavanaugh lied because he got angry and he doth protest too much. That I don't buy for a second. He's been accused of gang rape repeatedly. That's the charge coming from
accuser number three,
Mr. Creepy Porn Lawyer.
He's not my favorite.
But that was 10 to 12 gang rapes that his client has alleged that Brett Kavanaugh was involved with
somehow. Not necessarily the actual act.
Yeah, it's...
Right. I know, it's sleazy.
It's sleazy as all get out.
So was that the big surprise for you?
You know, I watched the more... I didn't substitute teach yesterday. I watched the testimony all day. I was pausing it occasionally to do other things, and so I was probably at points an hour to, less than 20 minutes behind it live. But I thought after the morning session, if you'd held a vote on the nomination right then, he'd have lost. He'd have lost big time.
I agree.
I think there's a lot of politics in the Republicans choosing to have that Phoenix area prosecutor do the questioning rather than themselves. Right. I recognize that. It was an effort to... For a couple different things. It was an effort to try and do a focused kind of investigation into Dr. Ford's charges by having one person do it rather than 11. I thought they probably should have, if they could have, found some way to give all their time to the last person and just do what would have been 55 minutes of, getting her story.
Right.
But... I thought that prosecutor, I'm not sure if she was taking direction from the Republican senators on, we want you to touch on these topics, or whether this was her on her own. I thought she did an absolutely horrible job.
I think my biggest surprise from yesterday was how ineffective she was. I really expected her to come out guns blazing.
Well, I don't necessarily think guns blazing, but, the first... there's 11 Republicans on the committee, so 5 minutes each, so that's 55 minutes she got. The first 45 of it was focused on what's happened in the past 2 months. And if she's directed by the Republicans to do that, to demonstrate that Democrats were playing politics with this, I don't think they really needed to spend 45 minutes proving that Democrats were playing politics with it. I think it's obvious from the get-go.
So if at the end of the morning you thought that Brett Kavanaugh was in trouble, what happened in the afternoon that made you change your mind?
It was his opening statement. Righteous indignation. The same people criticizing him for being injudicious and not having judicial temperament. Well, judicial temperament's when you've got two separate parties and you're not picking a side between them. When it's yourself and you're defending yourself, I expect you to defend yourself. And frankly, the same people saying, hey, he's out of line for going off like that, or that shows guilt. If he had been muted and quiet and very passive, that would have shown guilt too. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. Frankly, I think that was very genuine. I think if you accuse me of what he's accused of, I didn't do it, and I've worked for decades, and my good name is being dragged through the mud, and I'm having to explain to my 8 and 10 year old daughters what a gang rape is.
But he also seemed to be channeling, taking a page from the Clarence Thomas Page book. I mean, he even used the phrase circus. This is a circus.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right.
He came back angry and defiant and combative. So that all worked for you.
Yeah, and I think it probably worked for most Republicans, too. I think that's what they wanted to see.
We certainly know it worked with President Trump, because President Trump has enthusiastically endorsed him now.
Well, yeah, and that's a little bit interesting, because you've heard President Trump in the past kind of talk about men who cry. Yeah. Well, he teared up a few times, and you can understand why he teared up. The latest thing today is that they're going to give him a week to do this FBI investigation. I'm not sure what they're going to investigate. That's one of the questions I kind of asked on my blog earlier this week. It still stands. I'm not sure what you investigate. People have said, well, they sent these letters to the committee, and now the FBI will ask those people that Dr. Ford identified as being at the party. Well, when you submit a written declaration to the Congress, that has to be truthful. Otherwise, it's a felony. Right. So I'm not sure what more they're necessarily going to get when the FBI asks the same question. You should say, look at my statement.
So what do you think of the exchange between Senator Durbin and Kavanaugh right before Lindsey Graham went nuts? Because Durbin was trying to get him to agree to an FBI investigation, and he wouldn't do it.
Well, he's been through 6 FBI background checks. If they find something at this point,
but nothing since then.
Well,
so nothing since Dr. Ford came forward.
This is true, but you'd think they'd find something if there was, especially if he's doing, the gang rapes and the thing. But it's, I'm not sure if Dave, are you honest about your taxes?
My taxes, yes.
Yeah, well, then you shouldn't have a problem with the IRS auditing you.
I don't have a problem with the IRS auditing.
And you may come out of it fine, but trust me, I've talked to people who've had the experience. Even if you come out okay,
I have been
it's
audited.
Not a pleasant experience.
I have been audited by the FBI.
And my IRS. Thing is,
or FBI too, I don't know.
It felt like
FBI. I have been audited by the IRS, and I don't make that much money, and I don't claim that many exemptions. So
waste of their time. Yeah.
Yeah. And this may be a waste of the FBI's time. But, I made the list. Hey, even Alan Dershowitz called, I think last night it was, Alan Dershowitz called for an FBI investigation.
Yeah.
So let them do it. And if they find something, okay. If they don't find anything, all right. But at least they had the FBI investigation. It takes 4 days.
And you know how many votes that's going to change? Maybe 4.
That's all it takes. That's all it needs.
That may be all it needs. But the thing is, it's not going to change any of the 10 Democrats that were on that Judiciary Committee calling for it. None of their votes are going to change if the FBI comes out and says, well, here's the information we have. And again, as Joe Biden famously said in 1991, the FBI does not come to conclusions. That's Congress's job or the Senate's job.
I love when conservatives quote Joe Biden. It makes me tear up.
He's useful sometimes.
You think
goes around comes around.
I know. Do you think any of the loving Republicans on that committee, other than maybe Flake, would change their minds?
Well, here's, you mentioned Lindsey Graham going off.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham, I have, said for years, a conservative needs to run against him in South Carolina, because as far as I'm concerned, he's a rhino squish.
He's auditioning for attorney general. He wants to be the new attorney general.
I don't know about that, but I will tell you, if you look back at Lindsey Graham's history, to get him to the point where he does what he did yesterday.
It was drama. Come on.
It was drama.
It was theater.
But you don't expect it from Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. It was theater.
I'd expect that from Ted Cruz. If it comes from Lindsey Graham, talk about our polarization.
But I think Lindsey Graham beat him to it.
Very possibly.
All right. We got plenty to talk about. We want to include your phone calls a little bit too. Conservative blogger Matt Hoy back on this broadcast. His website is hoystory.com. We're live, we're local, we're hometown radio. Live 20 on News Talk 920 KVEC. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. I've tried all week long to give you a variety of perspectives on these Kavanaugh hearings. Last night, for example, we heard from Michelle Doster. Tonight, we've got conservative blogger Matt Hoy weighing in. He's got a couple pieces already up that he posted this week at hoystory.com. Instead of writing the third piece, he's here sharing it with us. And part of that, Matt, as we come back to you, is how the local and the national media have been covering this controversy.
Right. From the local standpoint, the Slow Tribune has two anti-Kavanaugh pieces up, including one going off about white male privilege.
Oh, I've been hearing a lot about that. That's from the woman on the Sacramento Bee. Yeah. I've been hearing about that.
That doesn't impress me much as a white male, that, all the privilege and whatnot that I get, which isn't much. I think newspapers should be presenting a variety of views, and that's obviously not it. I will say this for Twitter. One thing Twitter has done.
I love Twitter.
Is it has given reporters an opportunity to show their biases. And they, whether they realize it or not, or their ignorance, that's the other thing. So I got a collection of some of these.
All right.
James Homan, the national political correspondent for the Washington Post, and quite a few of these are from the Washington Post. Why, I don't know. It just, they've haven't been, showering themselves in glory lately, tweeted and later deleted, quote, "Kavanaugh says he lifted weights the same summer Ford says he pinned her down."
Right there. There's your connection.
There you go.
That's investigative reporting.
A reporter for one of the premier newspapers in this country, and he later deleted, saying one of my earlier tweets was interpreted in a way that was not intended, so I deleted it. Hmm. Well, no, I think we know why you did that. Aaron Blake, the senior political reporter at the Washington Post, tweeted a link to an article he wrote, says Kavanaugh's speech and this whole situation likely just hastened the politicization of the judiciary. Aaron Blake appears from his photo to be about 5 years old, which is how old you'd have to be to believe this. I mean, I barely remember Bork hearings.
I remember.
I was old enough to be able to kind of process and be aware of the ones for Justice Thomas. If you think that this one is the one that pushed it over the top or caused this to start happening, again, it's this 5-year-old memory or something.
Well, if I may,
yes,
I do think that this week, how do you say it, Matt? It's so toxic on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides. I don't know where Congress, I mean, are you just going to sit down and break bread with Lindsey Graham after that tirade? after the three or four Democrats got up and walked out today?
And then walked back in.
Yeah.
I
don't know how, and that's why, if for another reason, I'm glad the FBI thing is being allowed, mm-hmm. because that provides like a cool down period. Everybody just take a break.
Well, is it a cool down period, or is it seven more days in which, you know, creepy porn lawyer goes and finds more people to make more outrageous charges?
You're obsessed with that guy.
But I like saying creepy porn lawyer.
Okay, and he may well be. I'm not going to defend that guy, but can we at least hear what the accuser number three has to say?
You can hear what accuser number three has to say. I think it's frankly ridiculous when you look at, you know, the corroboration for it, which there isn't any really.
It'd be nice to hear from her to see if she has corroboration. That's all I'm saying. Just let these people be heard, and then let people decide.
Her story is so full of holes. First off, you know, I remember when I graduated high school and got into college, I can't remember ever going to a high school party again. I just didn't do it. I went to parties with college students, mainly because, you know, that's where people my age were. I didn't want to associate with high schoolers. But, you know, 2-3 years into college, she's still going to high school parties, allegedly.
Right.
She knows the punch bowl's being spiked. She knows that there's a line of guys lined up outside a door raping a girl, and she continues to go to the parties. I mean, it's not believable.
Which is why it'd be great to give her a chance to explain things and answer some of those questions.
Yeah,
we'll put you down as skeptical.
I am extremely skeptical. Well, here's the thing. You know, it comes down to who do you believe? And watching Dr. Ford yesterday, I believe that she was raped and attacked.
So you believe her, that she was raped and attacked?
I believe she was raped and attacked.
A rape attempt. She wasn't raped.
I believe that what she says happened to her.
Right.
I also don't believe it was Judge Kavanaugh that did it.
And how are you so confident of that?
Well, as far as, you know, she says 100% it's him, but every person she's named as having been there says they were never there, including her friend. And when she was asked, and this is you know, one of the things that the testimony yesterday was like.
Can you blame them for saying, oh, no, we weren't there? Can you blame them for that?
Well, her friend certainly. I mean, here's the thing. So her friend, I believe her name's Leland Kaiser.
Yes.
Says not only wasn't she there, but she didn't go to parties with Brett Kavanaugh. She didn't know Brett Kavanaugh. Now, I've heard, I don't know if this is true, that she's like Bob Beckel's ex-wife or something like that. The
Democratic strategist who appears on Fox News.
Well, used to until he got fired, I think, for sexually harassing people. So she was asked about this in her testimony yesterday. She says, your friend Leland, you know, she's asked, your friend Leland Kaiser says this didn't happen. And her response to that, well, she's having health problems. So,
well,
I don't understand why, how that applies to it.
And Brett Kavanaugh didn't want Judge testifying because he has alcohol and trauma problems.
Well, there's one thing between testifying and you know, saying something didn't happen or, you know, appearing in public.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. HoyStory.com is his website. We go to the phones as we continue. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. Always glad to have Matt Hoy here. He's a conservative blogger. He writes the popular blog called Hoy Story. Check it out at hoystory.com. Yes, we're continuing our conversation about Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And with a particular emphasis on the events of the last 24 hours, the news continues to unfold by the hour. If you want in on the conversation, by all means, join us. Phone lines are open, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We start with David in Oceano on KVEC. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi, Dave. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hello. I'm going to explain what went wrong with the Rachel Mitchell situation.
Okay. All right.
It, contrary to kind of what Matt said, it wasn't that she didn't do her job. It's the senators hired her to do the wrong job. Her job and what she is renowned for and why she has gotten so many people, helped so many people, is her expertise, is asking questions that lead to the truth. And she was doing that, and that's why they had to yank her. I think she was chosen because many of the senators actually thought that Kavanaugh was innocent, and that Rachel Mitchell, who is outstanding at questioning to get to the truth, would exonerate him. And when it turned out the other way, they yanked her.
What was she doing that was problematic?
Well, you saw how Matt himself said how bad he was Kavanaugh was looking under her questioning.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what he's saying at all. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I wasn't saying that. I don't think he was melting under her questioning at all. I focused on her questioning of
Dr. Ford.
Of Dr. Ford. And I will say this. I agree with a bit of what David just said. I agree that they hired her for the wrong job. But I don't think the job in the case here was getting to the truth. She's a prosecutor. She's usually finding the perpetrator and putting them away. She is not experienced in cross-examining an accuser who may have a faulty memory, may be lying. Now, I don't think personally that Dr. Ford's lying. I think something. Right. I think her memory is bad. I don't think Kavanaugh did it. But you know, I agree to the extent that he says that they hired her for the wrong job.
David.
Well, first of all, they yanked her not when she was interviewing Blasey Ford. It was when it was after the Kavanaugh questions, and to me as a listener, oh my God, it was like, oh my God, what she's doing? She's really getting at the truth, and he is melting under it, going off the rails, and they yanked her. And you said you're saying that she's not an expert at getting the truth. No, Matt, I don't think you know her or her reputation or the type of job she does. She isn't. It was a question. She was asking a lot of questions that were going to culminate in the truth. Right. And Kavanaugh recognized that, and that's why he started going off the rails and saying about how he has so many women that he hires and how he's helped so many women and he likes women. And that wasn't the issue that we're talking about at all. Anyway, that's my take is that she was actually doing a good job. Some of the senators who wanted her thought that Kavanaugh would be exonerated and the truth was winning out. They didn't want to see that at all.
All right, David, thank you. Any comment there?
Yes. Reporting today from the Washington Post, she what's her name again? Blanking on it.
Yeah, Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Yeah.
Mitchell told the GOP senators, according to the Washington Post, that she wouldn't be that based on Ford's testimony, she wouldn't be able to get an indictment against Kavanaugh. There's just no evidence.
Matt's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Hi to you, and also to Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Matt. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah.
And you're both conservative.
I agree with what you're saying about the. About the Mitchell's skills. I think they should have had a defense attorney who could really cross-examine the witness better. So that would have been a much better investigation of Ford with somebody else. So I agree with that. But my main comment is if they're going to investigate or bring back the FBI now, I think they should do the same thing and investigate Ford, Dr. Ford. We need to have her. She should.
Well, they will. She'll be investigated too, won't she, Matt?
Although no. I just saw something a short time ago where her lawyers are basically saying that they're not going to participate because it's only a week.
No. See, they're not going to do that. But all of her records and medical records should be exposed and then examined to see where has she spent her time, where did she go to school, what did she do in classrooms, etc. All that stuff should be looked at because to a large degree, I believe that she's been planted also she's being used by the Democrats to basically just throw a wrench into the timing of this issue.
I'll say this. I don't think Ford is consciously lying. I don't think she's a plant. I don't think she's in. But I will say this: if you are mad, and you know, Grassley apologized for this when they opened the hearing yesterday. You know, Democrats have kind of apologized for it, but I would charge that their apologies are insincere. But if you're mad about what happened to Dr. Ford, then I would encourage you, as a, you know, anyone listening, as a resident of this, or as a citizen of the United States and a registered voter in the state of California, to vote for Kevin DeLeon. Because Feinstein had this for a month and a half.
We'll get there.
And sat on it.
Because Dr. Ford wanted her to. Matt Kokin, what else from you?
Well, I agree that it was a travesty. But the biggest issue here that I've been harping on for a long time is that we absolutely need to hold a person innocent until proven guilty. And the procedure that was done is very, very upsetting to me because now we've thrown things totally upside down. Now, just an allegation means that whoever's if you state anything bad about another person, then he's got to prove that he's innocent. We must keep the innocent until proven guilty assumption because that's what distinguishes us in our society from all the other banana republics around the world where the dictatorships abound with their unlimited power. Then that's what upsets me mostly about this action right now. Okay. We're losing that.
All right, Matt, I appreciate the call. So before the next call, so you blame Feinstein?
Oh, well, here's the thing, and this is one of the things that Mitchell did get into in her questioning of Ford yesterday. Ford didn't leak that. She testified under oath that she did not leak that letter to the Washington Post.
Right.
The only other person that had the letter was Feinstein and her staff.
Right.
Now, Feinstein says Feinstein says she didn't leak it. Her staff says they didn't leak it, which means that, I guess, according to Feinstein, that Ford's lied under oath. And I don't think Ford lied under oath on that point. So I think the Democrats sat on that. I think Feinstein probably was telling the truth that, you know, keeping the confidentiality and not wanting to bring it forward. But then I think somebody on her staff leaked it, and I think they leaked it for political reasons.
All right. I think we've got Paul in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Paul.
I wonder if you even saw the testimony from Dr. Ford, because a lot of the things that you're saying just are not true. One thing that I want to point out really quickly, David was right. What was happening with the prosecutor when she was questioning Kavanaugh, she was actually using his calendar to drill down and get specific about when the date of the party was. Mm-hmm. And she actually used his calendar, and she was questioning him, and that's when Lindsey Graham threw his temper tantrum. And then they kind of fired her basically on the spot without doing it. But that's what it was, Matt. So
the Democrats on the committee are all incompetent, and they couldn't have picked up on that? They started picking up on it today, but they didn't. They had him before them yesterday.
What are you talking about?
About the calendar. Why didn't the Democrats pick up
the Republicans, once she started getting him to where they're getting specific about the date of the party. But that's not what I want
to
talk
about. What's the date
of the party? Yeah, the party, the date.
Which
July 1st. That's what he had. He had on his calendar, he wrote it down that he was going to go for skis.
Yes.
Which, you know, some people say brewskis.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Get to the main point,
David
Paul.
David was right. Okay, you're wrong about what what Dr. Ford said about her friend Leland Kaiser. Okay, she didn't just dismiss it as the woman was sick. Yeah, she did say that as part of it, but she also said that Leland Kaiser called her and said, "I don't know why my lawyer worded it that way."
No, she apologized. She said she called me and apologized.
Right.
And the way I read that, frankly, was that she apologized for that her statement didn't match up with hers.
No. You didn't even didn't even see her testimony.
Hang on, Paul. Did you see the testimony?
I watched that part. Yes, I watched all of it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead, Paul.
Then I don't know how you recall that she apologized for what her lawyer said and the statement and the way that it was worded. She has said she hasn't. Ms. Kaiser has not backed off. She said that she doesn't remember the party, and even Dr. Ford said that. She said Leland Kaiser does not remember the party specifically because it was unremarkable. But she said she absolutely believes what Dr. Ford said.
But Leland Kaiser also said she was never at a party with Kavanaugh.
That it happened.
Leland Kaiser also
said she believes that it happened. And Kavanaugh lied about that the whole time when he said that Leland Kaiser even said that it didn't happen. That was a lie.
So, Paul, you're contending that Leland Kaiser said what to Dr. Ford?
She said that she believes that it happened.
Okay. Any response to that, Matt?
Well, she may believe that it happened because it's her friend. But the thing is, Ford puts Kaiser at the party with Kavanaugh as well, and Kaiser has said, and she has not come off this, that she was never at, she doesn't know Brett Kavanaugh. She was never at a party with
him. But now she believes that it did happen.
Okay. She believes she was maybe the FBI can square this circle, but there's some conflict here.
Reason why we need the FBI report. All right, Paul, thank you. As we move on, we've got Scott in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Matt.
Hi.
As I was just thinking there when Paul replied about the accuser, you know, Lindsey Graham said, and he repeated over, you cannot prosecute if you don't know when it happened and where it happened. Now, she can't recall those. She can't recall the date, and I'm understanding she can't recall where it happened.
But she's not on trial.
She's not on trial. Exactly. She's not on trial.
But you use the term prosecution. She's not being prosecuted.
No, but Kavanaugh's being
Lindsey
persecuted.
Graham said that. If you were to prosecute, you have to have those two scenarios to develop a case. And she doesn't have those. So she's going it by what she remembers. Correct?
Yep.
Isn't that okay?
Well, it's totally based on her memory, sure.
Okay, Dave. I was calling about the thing about Representative Sheila Jackson when she handed an envelope to Dr. Ford's attorney yesterday. Right when they were done with their proceeding, she went right and shook his hand and pulled an envelope and gave it to him. And if you Google it online, there's a lot of people wondering, did she give him some money?
Now repeat that. Sheila Jackson gave an envelope to whom?
To Dr. Ford's attorney, the gentleman with the glasses, the bald guy that was sitting right next to her during the testimony yesterday, she handed him an envelope.
You know anything about that, Matt?
He put it in his pocket.
I've heard about that. Allegedly, Sheila Jackson Lee says it was like congressional stationery, is some sort of I don't know, something to commemorate it, or I have no idea. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that, you know, she hired the lawyer that Dianne Feinstein suggested she hire, and that they're Democratic operatives. You know, big surprise. You know, somebody's paying for this. She's had hundreds of thousands of dollars donated through various GoFundMes to her.
But that's a conflict of interest, don't you agree, Matt? I mean, if the Republicans did that, and they were on stand with this,
Scott, do you know for a fact what was in the envelope?
Nobody knows.
Okay, all right, then why make the accusation?
Well, it's almost like making the accusation that what Dr. Ford is saying. You know, be a little bit open about it.
No. Do you know what's in the envelope? Do you have any independent proof?
Nobody knows.
Okay. All right. Then why bring it up?
It's probably money or it's something or it's
it could be an invitation to a party. It could be, hey, I want to help pay her bills, so I made a personal donation. It's not necessarily a conspiracy theory, Scott.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring it up, Dave, because it's sort of, you know how the media will not talk about something if it's something that's not within their interest.
And I guarantee you that Craig and I immediately went to the internet. We both found articles about it right away, and nobody knows what's in the envelope. Let me leave it at that. Any other thoughts about that?
There's better things to discuss about this whole issue that we'll spend our time on.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. His website is hoystory.com. We'll be back. But first, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio, sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here are some reasons to check out Spencer's this weekend. On sale all weekend long. Beef tri-tip, $2.99 a pound. Hass avocados, 99 cents each. Meaty artichokes, 99 cents each as well. Seedless green or red grapes, yours at Spencer's for 99 cents a pound. Sweet white corn, $2 for $0.99. Seafood on sale includes ahi tuna steaks, $8.99 a pound. Coho salmon fillets, $12.99 a pound. How about medium easy peel shrimp? How about $4.99 a pound? Turn that car around and head to Spencer's in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor, The Dave Congleton Show. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News, and we'll welcome your phone calls and last call. What's on your mind? We'll find out during the 6 o'clock hour. We're in our final segment with conservative blogger Matt Hoy. His website is hoystory.com. Check it out. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. Phone lines are open at 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. As we focus on the ever-changing events of the last 24 hours on the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, I promised you a chance to talk about this argument about belief. It's more of a slogan, right? The movement, Believe All Women.
Right, or We Believe the Women. It changes day to day, it seems, based on the posters.
What's your take on it?
It's very, very illiberal in the classical liberal sense of the term.
Illiberal.
Illiberal.
Okay.
Yes. Believe All Women implies that women never lie, and women are human, like men are, and they lie, and they make mistakes. And, you know, you've got Crystal Mangum of the, you know, Duke LaCrosse case. You've got the Rolling Stone University of Virginia rape case. You know, and so there's malice sometimes. Sometimes it's just a mistake. As I said, you know, at the beginning of the hour, I think, you know, Dr. Ford was attacked. I think she suffered some sort of trauma. Right. But, you know, the Innocence Project says that the greatest contributing factor to wrongful convictions proven by DNA testing, playing a role in more than 70% of convictions overturned nationwide, is eyewitness misidentification.
Is that rape or murder?
That's everything.
Okay.
That's rape and murder and anything else.
Bob's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Bob.
Matt, I've got 2 points for you.
Okay.
One, I thought I heard you say something about why was Dr. Ford attending high school parties when she was
No, that was not Dr. Ford.
That was accuser number three.
That was...
Okay.
And I don't mean to call her that, but I don't know her name.
Understood.
Yes, Swidmer or something like that, yeah.
All right.
No, that was not Dr. Ford I was referring to.
Let's let that one go, then. The other point I had was you're talking about when... Judge Kavanaugh appeared, and he made his opening statement, and how you felt his forceful tone made him more believable. And I disagree. I think if he was innocent as the driven snow, he would have been cool, calm, collected, with the facts on his side. He could have presented his evidence. I think he was behaving like a petulant frat boy who got his fingers in the cookie jar.
Yeah, but see, we're talking about this earlier. He took a page from Clarence Thomas.
And I think if he behaved the way you do, I think that you and a lot of people who are inclined to disbelieve him would have said, well, that's just how a sociopath would act. He's been accused of gang rape, and he's sitting there calm and collected and passionless, emotionless. Mm. That sounds sociopathic to me.
But the flip side, what if Dr. Ford had come in and used that tone? Do you think she would have been defended?
Well, then you're getting into to perceived gender roles and stuff. I think she would have. I think her side would have defended her, and I think the other side would have attacked her. I think 90% of people on this have probably already made up their minds, and it's based on politics.
Bob?
Well, this was not a court hearing, other than it was in the court of public opinion, and if. Judge Kavanaugh ever had to appear in court and he came forth with an outburst like this, he would have not been viewed very favorably.
I don't know. You put somebody on the stand who has been wrongfully accused of...
It was pretty raw.
I agree.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you accused me of that, I'd get really ticked too. And if you said it to my face, I'd probably punch you in the nose.
We'll leave it at that, Bob. Thank you. Last text message. What happens within 1 week if the FBI finds nothing on Kavanaugh? Do you think Feinstein and the Democrats will apologize to him? I don't think so.
No, there's not going to be any apology. What you're going to have is if there's nothing found, and I don't think there's going to be anything found because this is 35 years old. I think you're going to have the Senate's going to say we did our due diligence.
Advising consent.
We've done our advising consent. I think Flake's going to come over. I think he's going to bring Murkowski, Collins, and maybe Manchin with him. Manchin's the Democrat from West Virginia.
Yeah.
So it might be 52-48 again.
Is that your final prediction? 52-48?
I'm going to say 52-48. I'm going to say they get Manchin.
All right. Matt Hoy, good job. Again, the website is hoystory.com. Final thoughts, sir?
You know, I want to go back to Feinstein and the lawyers. And the lawyers, another thing that jumped out at me yesterday during her testimony was she expressed that she did not know that Republicans had offered to fly out to the West Coast and interview her in private. She said, I didn't know that. That had been public in the news. Her lawyers have been told that, and that if they didn't say anything, they are not serving her best interests. They're serving their interests of the Democrats.
Good job, Matt. Appreciate it. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. What's on your mind? We'll find out. Last call up next.